Good morning and welcome to our podcast. My name is David Pritchard, Head of Marketing here at Sintons. Joined again today by my colleague Suzanne Dixon, who is a Senior Associate in the Residential Conveyancing Team here at Sintons. And our podcast today, which will last approximately 5 to 10 minutes, and today Suzanne is going to concentrate on cladding on high-rise buildings. So without further ado, pass you straight over to Suzanne. Suzanne, good morning and over to you.
Morning, David, and thank you very much. So if you're buying or selling a flat, you may need to consider the issue of cladding in relation to the building. External cladding serves as an important purpose for many properties, but they can present issues too, especially in the wake of the Grenfell disaster in June 2017. Cladding is a product that can be applied to a structure to either give it a more pleasing appearance or to provide an extra level of insulation. However, there can be serious issues with materials used in some cladding. If you're looking to sell or remortgage your leasehold property and there is a cladding issue, you have to be aware that mortgage lenders won't lend on a property unless they know exactly what the cladding is made of. If this can't be ascertained, then a potential buyer won't be able to get a mortgage, meaning that you're unlikely to be able to sell your property. The EWS1 form was introduced in 2018, and the purpose of this form is to ensure that external wall systems are properly assessed for fire safety. The form provides evidence that a building with potentially combustible cladding has had a fire safety assessment. They currently apply to buildings which are over 18 metres in height, although the criteria has changed a few times over the past couple of years. It is the building owner's responsibility, so i.e. the freeholder or management company or their managing agents, to obtain the EWS1 certificate for the building. A qualified professional will conduct a fire risk appraisal of the cladding. The form covers the whole building and is valid for 5 years and serves to reassure lenders so that mortgages can be offered on the flats. Based on the assessment, the building will be assigned one of the following ratings. Option A is where external wall materials are unlikely to support combustion. This is split into 3 sections. A1 is where there's no cladding that contains significant quantities of combustible material. A2 is a risk assessment of cladding has taken place and no remedial works are required. And A3 is where cladding is unlikely to support combustion, but remedial works may still be needed. And then there's option B, which is when cladding contains combustible materials. Then your building can be either B1, where the fire risk is low enough that remedial works are not required, or B2, where the fire risk is high enough to require remedial work. If your building doesn't have cladding or any wooden balconies, then it shouldn't require an EWS1 form. However, some brick and stone slip external wall systems are classed as cladding, and the building may have decorative panels that require assessment. It is worth noting that some lenders have indicated that they will still request EWS1 forms on buildings that should be classified as exempt, which causes another complication. Unfortunately, there's currently a shortage of inspectors who can carry out these checks, and this is causing delays for leaseholders who are trying to sell their flats. It is important to remember as well that an EWS1 certificate isn't the same as a fire safety assessment of the building, which must be carried out separately. Please remember to take all of this information into consideration if you're buying or selling a flat, and be prepared for the process to potentially take longer than usual. I really hope that that's been helpful. I'm going to pass you back to David.
Thanks, Suzanne. Enjoyed listening to that one, as always. Very quickly from me, just to remind you, we continue to work hard to produce and deliver relevant and useful content, articles, blogs, podcasts, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk, and that includes all episodes of this Understanding Residential Conveyancing podcast series. You can also follow the conveyancing team on Twitter at Sintons, at Sintons Conveyor1. As I usually say at this point, if you'd like to discuss anything Suzanne's raised today further, please don't hesitate to get in touch with her or a member of the team. Suzanne can be contacted via telephone 0191 226 7878 or via email suzanne.dixon@sintons.co.uk. Episode 12 will be with you in about a month's time. Stay safe, everyone, and we look forward to speaking to you then.